If you have your Bibles with you or want to grab one out of the pews, I invite you to open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. This morning I want to speak to you simply on the subject of six. Actually, it's six great things that we glean about God out of this verse. And so I'm just going to ask that we might open with a word of prayer, and then we are going to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we now ask that you would open our hearts and minds to you, that you would help us to set aside all outside distractions for these few moments we have left, that, Father, we might be able to focus upon who you are and all that you do for us. For it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. As I was looking at this particular verse, these six thoughts came to me in regard to this verse and what it has to say about God. Quite often we look at this verse and we see what it says to the believer and about the believer, but sometimes we miss some of the connections about God in this particular verse. I want to share with you these six things. I want to share with you: He loves, He gives, He fathers, He offers, He saves, and He promises. And so let's look at these six elements that we see about God in Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, which reads like this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So let's begin to look at this. Let's look at the fact, first of all, that he loves. As this verse opens, it says, For God so loved. The love of God is something that is absolutely amazing to us. When we take a moment to reflect upon the type of love that God has for us, he loved us even while we were enemies of his. Stop and think about enemies you may have in this life. Do you love them? But that's the kind of a love yet that God has for us, in that even while we were caught in the grips of sin, even though we were in a lost condition, God loved us. In fact, love is the very essence of the nature and the character of God, for God is love. I find that interesting because the scriptures don't say that God contains love, but the fact that he is love. It is a bold declaration that the very essence of the nature and the character of God is love. And as we look at this, we look at the complete sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, we begin to realize that it was only love that kept him there. His love for his enemies. His love for all who were lost kept him nailed to that cross. Because he could have come down, but he chose to stay on that cross in order that you and I might be able to have love and have life. And you see, that's love. And that's God. He is love. Secondly, I want you to notice he gives. According to this verse, as it continues on, For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, we quite often understand the essence of God giving his Son to die for us. But look at all of the things that God gives us. He has given us life here in this earth. He has given us family, friends. He has given us hope in the midst of a world that is literally walking around in hopelessness and in despair. But God gives us hope in the midst of that. For people like Stacy Schweitzer, he gives them air after they have tipped over their canoe while hunting. Glub, glub, glub. If you haven't heard that story yet, you've got to talk with Stacy. I'm sure that he will enjoy it. But God gave him life in spite of that. And so, God gives us so many things. But the most important gift that God gives us is himself. When we become believers in Jesus Christ and followers of him, God gives us his presence within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then gives us guidance and help and strength and encouragement because God loves us. And he wants to see us prosper in this life. Not in the things of this life necessarily. Not the health, wealth type of thing. But the spiritual fruitfulness. God wants us to be spiritually fruitful. And he has promised then, because of his love, because what he has given us, he has promised us his presence forever. What an incredible gift God gives. Number three, we see that he fathers. What did God give for us so many years ago? Because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He fathers. I really enjoy looking through the scriptures and seeing the encounters that Jesus has with his Father while he walked on this earth. We have several of those examples, and I'm sure there are many, 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 many more. But nonetheless, we have some that were recorded for us. One of those encounters was at the moment of Jesus' baptism. And as he was coming up out of the water, his Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's a dad. That's a father. You know, a lot of people can go through the physical motions of producing a child, men and women, but few are real fathers. Fathers that really show their kids love, fathers that really give them guidance and help and encouragement, fathers that are there for them when they hurt, or when they're disappointed, or when they're disillusioned, or when they're discouraged. But you see, God is the kind of a father who is there. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At no point do we ever infer from Scripture that God was embarrassed by his Son. But his love as a father toward his Son was pure, was complete, and was demonstrated. He's a father. We men need to be fathers too. Number four, We see from this verse that he offers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. You see, he offers. Believing in Jesus, folks, is not simply a mental agreement with God. Yeah, I believe that Jesus existed. I mean, there's so much historical evidence of the existence of Jesus Christ that you have to go against tons of evidence to deny his existence. Historians of his day, like Josephus, talked of the Christ. All through history, there have been examples of the existence of Jesus Christ. But you know, when you take a moment to realize that God so loved us that he freely offered his Son to take our place. We who were lost, we who were enemies of God, God offered us a way out of that relationship of hate into a relationship of love. It's just not just a mental agreement that God exists, but it is a full selling out of our soul, of our heart, of our mind, of our strength to God. And when we do that, God offers us then the greatest promise that he could give to any man, any woman, any child. We'll look at that in a moment. But God offers. He freely extends to you and I an opportunity. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to receive that opportunity with joy and gratitude? Or are we going to trample under our feet the grace of God and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ? God offers. Will we receive the offer? Number five, we see that God saves. He so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Shall not perish. Shall not be destroyed. Shall have everlasting life, you see. God so loves that he rescues us from the depth of sin and gives us life and hope. He gives us peace and joy. He gives us wisdom and discernment. He gives us grace that we don't deserve. But he loves us enough to freely share himself with us. He saves us through the blood of Jesus Christ and gives us life. And then finally, we see from this verse that he promises. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What an awesome promise. You know, when we come down to the end of this life, we're going to face judgment. Every one of us is going to stand before God. Every one of us. And he is going to be the ultimate judge. And he is going to judge according to his wisdom, and he's going to judge perfectly. He is going to judge on every deed that we have committed. And he's going to judge on every right decision that we made. But there's going to be one thing that's going to determine our eternal destiny. Our eternal destiny will be determined on whether or not we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's what it's going to be about, folks. It's not going to be about, did you attend Faith Church? If you attended Faith Church, come on in. That's not what it's going to be about. It's not going to be about, did you attend any church? It's going to be about, what did you do with my son Jesus? You see, attending church becomes vital and valuable after we receive Jesus Christ, because it's the church is God's plan. And it's his plan to help us to grow and to become wise in the spiritual issues of life. It's vitally important. But God is going to judge. And there's only going to be two final destinations for people. For those who have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation and have walked in faith and obedience to him and have followed him, and you know, the scriptures say, he who endures to the end, you know, those who have been blessed by God and have lived that kind of a life, they're going to stand before God and God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. Enter into your joy. And he's going to open up the gates of heaven and it'll all be ours. For those who have not received Jesus, he's going to say, depart from me, you who have worked iniquity. Enter into the lake of fire which was prepared for the devil and his angels. And there'll be no release from there. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, there isn't any intermediate state. I don't want to disappoint you, but there's no intermediate state where you can go and maybe be punished for a while and then released to go into God's heaven. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's no place where we can go and work off the sins that we've done. It all depends on what do we do with Jesus. But the promise of God is, if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll have eternal life, everlasting life. That's the presence of heaven. And boy, if you want to see what heaven's going to be about, look at Revelation chapter 20, where it declares there'll be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain. There'll be no more crying, no more mourning. There'll be no need, there'll be no wants. God will wipe away all tears from the eyes. Folks, heaven is going to be a place of eternal joy. Isn't that what you want? If you want eternal life, the only way to have it is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you'd have to say, you know, I've never received Jesus as my Savior, I want to give you this opportunity. I would be remiss if I didn't. I want to give you a chance to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing. We're going to invite you to come. Or perhaps you're here today and you're going to say, you know what? I've not been living for Him the way I know that I ought to, and I need to rededicate myself to God and His service. And we're going to invite you to come as well. Get back to the place where God wants you to be, where He loves you. So I'm going to ask you to please stand. Take your hymnals if you would. Open up to number 206. Number 206. There is a Redeemer. And again, if you're here today and you know that things aren't right in your life with the Lord, today is the day. I invite you to come as we sing. There is a Redeemer.